Can you imagine if I had like, are you recording?
Yes.
Okay. Can you imagine if I had like a condition where my eyes just like, not like a lazy eye thing, but they just couldn't stay still? You're like, Gifton, are you seeing like a wasp or something? Like, no, it's just my thing.
That would be the most disconcerting thing.
I'd have to wear sunglasses like all the time.
Yeah. But maybe... just see where you're going.
Well, like a chameleon manages it.
They... they look in different directions deliberately.
Yeah, but I'm doing it undeliberately.
Yes, the key difference.
I always sort of wonder how animals who have eyes on the side of their heads, how their vision works. Like, do they have like a black space in the middle of their like field of vision then?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe their brain just works in such a different way that they can process two separate fields of vision. Yeah, it's weird to think about, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
It's bizarre.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Always exciting. As... eyes that dart around the room uncontrollably. Imagine like crossing the street.
Oh my God.
Look both ways. You taking the piss?
Yes. Oh, it would be like impossible to like hypnotize me. That's enough tomfoolery.
Time for some gift and foolery.
Yay. That's not going to name my first album.
What, Gift and Foolery?
Yeah, but it'd be like a holiday album with your favourite Christmas hits. Like, I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus. I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus. I killed Santa Claus.
All right, are we going to actually start the episode?
Yeah, go on.
Holy Red, oh how we wish that Hagrid was dead. Dumbledore sits there and jingles his balls. Lupin is chisting and decking the halls. Madame Pomfrey has kept you up there so you can lay down for some Holy Red.
Baby.
Hello everyone, Merry Christmas, welcome to this very special, very Christmassy episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, Christmas time.
Yeah. Expect lots of that.
Yeah, you got lots of Yuletidiness.
Yuletidiness?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Do you know how you say like your majesty? Imagine if, your tidiness.
She's so clean all the time.
Yeah, she has all her pills in straight boxes. On fridge day. Yes.
Quite.
Yes, quite.
Quite, yeah. Okay, so we decided to do a Christmas special and then thought...
And then regretted it instantly. But here we are.
But here we are doing a Christmas special. We're releasing an episode on Christmas Day. It can't not be a Christmas special.
Yeah, do you think anyone will actually listen to this on Christmas Day?
I don't know.
I think I would.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like some downtime in most people's Christmas Day, I think. Like when...
Literally 23 hours and 55 minutes of that day is downtime. There's a good 5 minutes when you're opening your presents and the rest is having to look at people that you can't stand. It's like, ugh.
Yep, keep on listening for more of that Christmas cheer. No, but there's like a period in the afternoon where, you know, the presents have opened, you've all eaten, like the films aren't going to start for a bit. The adults are doing the washing up. Wait, just like, you know, go and make a start on the selection box or go, you know, I don't know, just go chill for a bit.
I think during most of December, I often have chocolate for breakfast.
Yeah.
So on Christmas Day, it's no different. I think I'll wake up, get some chocolate and a mince pie and then open my presents.
I'm surprised that you like mince pies.
Why?
Because it seems like the sort of thing that you would roll your eyes at and go, oh, Tom, that's so you.
I like the ones with icing on top. I'm not, I'll have one that's like a plain one because it's fine still, but I only ever get the ones that have icing on top.
Yeah. It's not exactly a trollop mountain, is it?
So yeah, we thought we'd start off this episode talking about some of our favourite or not so favourite Yuletide traditions and thingamabobs.
Yeah, but then we didn't think much further than that.
Yeah, and we realised that we both don't have any interesting stories about Christmas. I know what we can talk about.
Go on.
What's the best Christmas present you've ever got?
Ooh. Cool. Now that seems like the sort of question that it would have been nice to have some prep time for.
I only thought of it right now.
Best Christmas present I've ever got. I think I remember the one I was definitely like most excited for was my PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, I remember I was like begging for it for like the whole lead up to Christmas. And then my dad kept trying to tell me it was a toaster and I was like, nah, I know what it is. But there was part of me thinking, oh, I swear to God, if this is actually a toaster, I'm going to fucking kill you in your sleep.
That has triggered an actual good story I do have, I completely forgot about. So when I was about 3 or 4, my dad did the same thing. He was like, yeah, so you're going to get a wooden spoon for Christmas. And I was like distraught about it. But at some point, I just sort of accepted it. And then I got kind of excited about it. And then so on Christmas Day, my dad gave me a wooden spoon. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And I was like playing with it and stuff like that. And then my dad, like, he went to the toilet, but then, like, faked someone knocking on the front door. And then my mum was like, oh, like, someone's at the door. You should run and answer it. So, and they, did they video this? I think they videoed this as well, but the tapes are probably lost by now. Mm. So I ran into the hallway, straight past the brand new bike that I'd actually got, opened the door, was like, no one's there. Ran back inside. My dad was like, I've bought you a bike. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I ran back into the living room and picked up the spoon again. And then my mum was like, I need the spoon back so I can make Christmas dinner. And I started crying. Oh God. And my dad, he had like fucking like remodeled this bike. He like sprayed it in like the West Ham colors and stuff. Because obviously I love football so much, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. You were only young. There was still
he
hope
didn't
then.
Know, yeah. But yeah. And I just like, I couldn't have cared less about the bike. It was so like, yeah. But that teaches parents a lesson. Don't fucking hype up an imaginary gift. Like. I think the best gift I ever got that I can really think of right now is, I remember I got a TV off my uncle once. So my dad had bought me like this microscope set that I'd wanted from Argos. And I was like, oh, thanks, that's really cool. Then my uncle came round with this massive fuck off box. And before I'd even opened it, I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Oh my God, I love it so much. My dad was like, you've not even opened it yet. And my dad was obviously put out by the fact that already his gift had been like dwarfed. Yeah. By this much. And I opened it and it was a TV and I was like, wow, thanks, uncle. This is amazing. And yeah, I was so fucking over the moon with it. Oh, yeah, that was a good Christmas. I don't really remember anything after that, to be honest. It also was like
just when you started on the gear. It's all just a blur after that.
There was a different kind of white powder in the air. Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of after that, your presence, as like everyone knows, is who is like listening. As you get older, your presents get like smaller and smaller usually.
Yeah.
So and it does get to a point where you start appreciating socks and things like that because you do actually like need them.
Yeah, definitely. And also I fucking hate clothes shopping. So I get like a little bulk intake of clothes at birthday and Christmas. That's fine by me.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about Christmas is I like the sort of general like festivity in the air throughout the whole of December. I love watching like Christmas films on Christmas Day. Have you got a favourite Christmas film? Have you seen a Christmas film? Have you seen a movie?
I've seen some films and a few of them are Christmas films. I've seen Home Alone 1 and 2.
Yes.
I've seen Love Actually.
Yeah.
I've seen that awful thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's trying to get that
jingle
toy
all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen Bad Santa.
I've not seen that one, actually. Is it any good?
I can't remember. I remember thinking it's quite funny.
That's not a strong enough recommendation.
It's not really, is it? I can't in good conscience give a stronger one than that, I'm afraid.
Okay, that's not too bad then. Like,
I also think I've seen The Grinch, but a long time ago.
That's such a shit film.
Is it?
I went to cinema to see that, and I remember halfway through wishing I could just get up and leave. I was with friends, so I couldn't. I fucking hated it. And I still hate it to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, that's definitely not a strong
enough
recommendation.
So after that film, the woman who is in charge of the Dr. Seuss estate... basically, like, from that moment on, was like forbade anyone from ever making a live action Dr. Seuss film again.
Really?
Because she thought it was that bad, and I don't disagree with her.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the animated ones are pretty swish.
Do you know who I've become less and less enthused about as I've grown older?
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just, oh man. He just jumps around and makes funny faces. He's like the Lee Evans of the 90s.
I wouldn't go that far. That's fucking hell. I still think he's a comic genius. I do think the best thing about him is that he's entirely unique. Like, there's literally no one who does what he does. And I think he's really underappreciated because of that.
That is true. And I do think he's a great actor. Yeah. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is an amazing film.
God, yeah. But yeah, I do. I tried to watch The Mask recently with only like happy memories of it. And when I got to the end, I was like, this is a bad film. And it's not because of him as such. It's just... the actual movie was kind of shit. And I'm sort of wondering if I watched like Ace Ventura 1 and 2 now, what my reactions would be to his, like, you know.
This is it. It really appealed to me as a kid because he was he was goofy and larger than life and everything. But now I think I would just, ugh. Also, I watched some of his stand-up and...
He does stand-up as well.
Well, he did in like the 90s.
I didn't know that.
And it was really like... So I was walking down the street and saw this guy and he went, "Bagul."
Oh my God.
And huge, rapturous laughter. And it's like, not funny.
I guess it's just that thing though that most comedy just doesn't age well.
Yeah, maybe.
It's really rare that comedy stands the test of time, actually.
Mm.
Which means that in... probably a year from now, this podcast is going to be fucking awful. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. My favourite Christmas films are Muppet Christmas Carol and Polar Express.
I have not seen either.
Polar Express, like, it's got that weird Uncanny Valley thing with, like, the motion capture. But that aside, it's fucking great, and I cry every time. And the score, I think, is the best score ever. For a film, it's so fucking good and so like emotive and stuff. It's excellent. Muppet Christmas Carol is fucking sick. I don't know anyone who doesn't like it. It's just so funny, and no one like the Muppets are always good. So yeah, I tend to always watch them. Yeah, I don't know. Love actually's got a bit of a love hate kind of thing. I know a lot of people who love it. I know a lot of people who hate it. What?
Nothing.
No, go on, Tom. Repeat that joke.
I said no. It's Love Actually.
Yeah, I love that Christmas film, Love Hate. What? Sorry, I was just watching tapes from my youth. Yeah. So yeah, I think the best thing about Christmas as well is the Christmas dinner. That's always something to look forward to. Even a bad Christmas dinner is kind of a good one, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm a fan of Christmas in general. I think it's nice that...
Really?
Not because...
I'm actually shocked.
Really? I can't tell if you're being shitty or not.
No, I'm being serious and shitty at the same time. I didn't think you was a Christmas person at all.
Yeah, no, I am. I mean, I'm not, you know, the traditions behind it, like the, you know, whole Jesus reasoning behind it is, you know, feels kind of silly now.
In England, it's rare you meet an English person who celebrates it because of that.
Exactly. But like a lot of traditions have like roots in just kind of nonsense things. But I think it's nice that we, in our culture anyway, agree that there's a time of year where we all just be nice to each other and don't go to work and give each other presents and spend time with friends and family. I think it's nice that we all agree on a time of year when we do that.
Yeah, and everyone is always a bit nicer on Christmas Day.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's nice when you walk, and if you ever venture out the house on Christmas Day and you bump into someone, usually they will say Merry Christmas and you say it too.
Yeah, that's true.
And considering like that and we live in England.
And it's the one time of year I don't mind people speaking to me on the street.
Yeah, same. Yeah, because like most of the time in England, people will fucking hardcore ignore each other.
Yeah, which frankly, I'm happy with.
Yeah, I hate interacting.
Yeah, I join in with the hardcore ignoring very much.
Yeah, I keep my eyes to the floor.
Yep.
I ignore everyone.
Yep.
Which is an awful thing. But
I don't know if it is. I don't want to make small talk with a stranger on the bus. I want to listen to my podcast or like read my book or whatever I'm doing. I think that is more engaging than just exchanging pleasantries with some stranger. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, I guess so.
That said, if you're a fan of the podcast and you see me on the street, feel free to come and say hi.
Don't say hi to me. If you see me and recognise me, take a photo from afar and leave it at that. Anyway, yeah, so that's our, like, Christmassy upfront bit.
Yeah. Does it feel like a Christmas special yet?
I think it does.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, yeah, we thought we'd dedicate this entire episode to one singular chapter so that you can listen to on Christmas Day.
Yes. Can you guess which chapter it is?
Yes.
It's the one that comes next.
Blood,
after
flesh, and bone. Only joshing.
Yeah, it's the one that comes next after what we finished on last episode.
All right, Tom, sorry. Yeah, it's called
The Yule Ball.
Yeah.
Which I find weirdly tricky to say, the Yule Ball.
Yule Ball.
Yeah.
It, like, it doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? The Yule Ball. Because I would say Yule Ball, but then it just sounds like I'm saying it not right.
Well, exactly. This is it with the kind of London twang. It almost sounds like those words rhyme.
Which Yule Ball.
The Yule Ball.
Kind of, yeah.
Which they don't, really.
They don't at all, really. It's the Yule Ball.
The Yule Ball.
Yeah. Yule log is a fucking awful dessert, by the way. I'll just say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Oh, do you like it?
Well, I to be honest, I think it's been a long time since I've had a Yule log, but it's just chocolate cake with chocolate icing in the middle.
Maybe I've just had bad Yule log. And I don't usually like chocolate flavoured things that aren't just actual chocolate.
Mm.
Like, I don't like chocolate ice cream. There's only one chocolate cake I've ever had that I know I like. The others I'm always just a bit like,
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've never been a big fan of chocolate cake. Chocolate ice creams, I prefer almost every other flavour of ice cream.
Yeah, if I knew someone who, like, chose chocolate ice cream, it would put a seed in my mind that I need to, like...
I need to cut them.
Yeah, out of my life and across the throat.
Yeah.
What was that sigh of exasperation?
I just, every now and then, I reflect on the amount of just venom in this podcast.
I think we have lots of nice things in this podcast as well, though.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are plenty of fucking nice Harry Potter podcasts.
That's true. We need to make the horrible Harry Potter podcast. Just rename it Tom and Gifton's Horrible Podcast.
I'd be down for that.
If you like any of the things we don't like, fuck you. That's the take-home message here.
That's kind of been my approach to life.
Yeah. And a very Christmassy message, if ever there was one.
Oh, dear. So let's begin.
All right, chapter 23, The Yule Ball.
Yes.
Harry's sacking off all his homework and enjoying the lead up to Christmas, as he bloody should.
Yeah, I would do exactly the same.
Me too.
Fuck those teachers who made you do actual, like, classwork on the last day of term before you broke up for Christmas.
Yeah. In fact, I would literally did do that every year I was at school. There's no fucking way I would do any homework that was due for after the Christmas holidays, you know?
Yeah.
Because all of their homework, I assume, is due for after the Christmas holidays, because Harry's like, well, I've got time.
Yeah.
So why would... I don't know anyone who would... anyone who starts on their holiday homework before the Christmas holidays have even started is a sociopath.
Or very practical.
Yeah, or just a very diligent and studious person. I've got no time for it either way.
Yeah, I used to know someone who knew someone who used to do all their homework as soon as they got home from school, so they just go out and, like, fuck about the rest of the
night.
That's
as close as a connection as we can get for someone we knew who did their homework as soon as they got it. I used to know someone who knew someone.
Well, yeah.
You're not hanging around with those nerds.
I always used to do my homework like the night before.
Me too.
And it's because, like, I mean, it would be fine. I'd get a good mark anyway. So I was like, I'm not fucking stressing out about this and doing it.
Oh, see, I got like C's and average grades.
Oh, really?
The entire way through school, yeah.
Oh, I got A's a lot.
Wow.
Sorry. It goes to show, it doesn't matter where you start out, Tom. You all end up in the same place. Oh, God. Fred and George are having a great success with their canary creams.
Yeah, people are just sort of spontaneously bursting into yellow feathers.
It sounds like fun. I think I would have one.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I think it sounds like a fun party favour.
Yeah, for sure. But then, yeah, Harry says that, like, everyone cottoned on quickly and soon became very wary of accepting any food from anyone because it might have a canary cream hidden inside it somewhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's worse things that you could eat.
True.
Like
chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, or an apple with razor blades in it.
Also available at Weasley's Wizard Weezers. Classic Christmas time gag.
Yeah. Do you want to have a Christmas without your kids? Here, give them this.
Social services will be out to your door before you know it.
Padded cell not provided. Fleur is moaning about the fucking food at Hogwarts.
Oh, this Hogwarts food is too heavy.
I'm not going to fit into my dress for the... I don't know why she's fucking become Dracula.
I'm not going to fit into my dress for the ball.
And Hermione's like, oh, isn't that the worst? But like sarcastically or something.
Yeah.
She says something. I wish I'd wrote it down because it was quite like a good like retort. Maybe she went, oh, fuck you. Yeah, and Hermione's still fucking refusing to tell them who she goes to the ball, who she's going to the ball with.
Yeah, because she's being
like,
super shady about
Yeah, Ron
it.
Keeps on trying to like spring the question on her. I had a friend at school who used to keep on trying to like surprise me with the question of, are you gay? But like, he was very like militant to the point where I didn't trust my safety if I ever admitted it.
Were you old enough that you, like, knew?
Yeah, and, like, the girls in my high school knew. And, like, the cool boys did, and they were, like, fine with it, weirdly. Maybe not weirdly, but they were just like, okay. It was all, like, the dickhead, uncool boys that kind of had the most problem. It was sort of like an open secret, if that makes sense. But then this one boy, we'd just be having, like, a laugh, and he'd be like, are you gay? Like that, like, all the time, as if it'd, like, shock me into going, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no! Did you do the whole gift and you dropped a gay card?
No, I used to get stuff like that a lot.
Yeah.
But it never really, like, bothered me.
Did you see that thing on TV last night? Gay boy say what? No, gay boy say no. I fucked it up.
Ah, you fucking knob! So, yeah, she, like... Ron says, Hermione, who are you going to the ball with? And then she's like, I'm not going to tell you. You'll just make fun of me. And then Malfoy overhears, because they're just outside the Great Hall. And then he's like, oh, who would want to go with that? The long-molared mudblood.
Yeah, the long-molared mudblood.
I was like, that's the wrong teeth you're describing.
It is the wrong teeth.
He should have been like, oh, the long-incised infidel.
And speaking of teeth, Harry notices that Hermione's teeth are shorter than they were before.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yes, of course, I wasn't going to keep those horrendous long things that Malfoy gave me. And he's like, nah, but you've done something else to them.
Yeah, they look different to even how they were before you got cursed.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, when I went up to see Madame Pomfrey, she tied me up and she punched me in my face and my teeth just came out. And she's like, well, I need to give you my spares. And she ripped her own teeth from her mouth and stuck them in mine.
It was a very traumatic experience.
Yes.
And I'd rather not talk about it.
But it's okay. We both orgasmed.
Fuck me.
Harry's like, Hermione, if I'd known this about you, I mean, I'd probably
I'd have been way into it.
Yeah.
Why have we not talked about
this? You fucking told me this earlier. I would have asked you to the ball.
I'd have given you my teeth.
Because she was like, yeah, I've been wanting to treat them for years, but mum and dad always wanted me to continue with my brace. And I was like, you ain't wore braces this entire fucking time you've been in school. So what are you fucking talking about? Yeah. Silly bitch. She's like, no, I've been wearing Invisalign. I was like, no, I don't think so.
That doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, fucking hell, why would you let your parents like dictate what you can do with your fucking teeth when you're away from them most of the year?
Well, she's still like 14.
Yeah, but she knew the magic to do it herself. Why not just fucking do it?
Yeah.
Because what are her parents actually going to do? They can't do magic. So they can't like reverse the spell and say no.
Yeah, I suppose.
So yeah, I just thought that was weird.
Well, she saw an opportunity and she took it.
Yeah, I commend her.
And bloody fair play.
Yeah. Well done, her man.
Oh, well, no.
Five boys are good.
Can't do better.
And
so Hermione then, after Ron having sprung the question on her, she just goes, oh, Pigwidgeon's back.
Yeah.
And notices that Pigwidgeon is in fact back.
With a letter from Mr. Black. What? That's his name.
I know, but it rhymes. It has Sirius's reply and Pigwidgeon's getting all sorts of attention from the girls. And Ron's like, stupid feathery git.
He should use that to his advantage.
Yeah, he should, but he's an idiot. And he just like waves the owl at him and he's like, fuck off. Harry grabs Sirius's reply from Pigwidgeon and we get this book's instance of Harry pocketed it.
Yeah, no, we've had one already, I think.
Oh, have we?
I think so, because I remember thinking I should have done it again.
Oh.
The bitch.
Was it not last book? What was the one in the last book?
I can't remember.
No, me neither.
Probably an instance of him putting something in his robes.
Ah! Plot thickens.
That's what I'm going to call my gravy brand. Sorry, when we release like our poorly read gravy granules under of Molly's course. Gravy, and then the extra chunky version we called Molly's Gravy, the plot thickens. Yeah, and the letter, like Sirius, basically just commends Harry on his ingenious use of evasion from the dragon, because he was going to suggest a conjunctivitis charm.
Which is what Crumb did.
Yes. And then what else does he say?
That's about it, really. It's just sort of, Merry Christmas. Good job getting past the dragon, old chap. I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, so then he puts the letter away, I'm guessing. And then Hermione tells him. Yeah, he pocketed it. And then Hermione's like, Harry, have you done any more work on that egg? Then he's like, Hermione, it's fucking not even Christmas yet. And she's like, yeah, but you know, you really should. And he's like, no, I've got plenty of time. And I'm like, Hermione's got a point, really.
Hermione does have a point. I would be worried about the egg. The homework can fuck off, but the egg, like, I mean, also, why is Harry's exempt from end of year exams? Like,
yes, why is he doing anything?
Exactly.
Anyway, it's Christmas morning. Woo!
Harry wakes very suddenly on Christmas Day with a pair of bulging green eyes leering over him.
Yeah, he's like, McGonagall, get out of here! She's like, oh, sorry, I was sleepwalking again. Why are you naked?
Oh, sorry, I was rubbing myself on your face. I mean, no.
I mean, I was clapping my chalk dusters. I mean, no. It's just a dream, Harry. Madame Pomfrey's there like, yes, well done. She like moonwalks out of the room and he's like, I guess it must be. She's probably never even heard of Michael Jackson. Earth Song hadn't even come out yet, I don't think. That was Christmas number one the year after this book is set. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
What was Christmas number one in 1994?
I don't know, actually. Maybe like the Pogues.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Was that 90s? I feel like that was...
It might have been even E17. Stay now, baby, if you got to go away. Don't think I can stand. Oh, God.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was the last non-Spice Girls Christmas number one for 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What were the... So 1996...
was Two Become One, 97 was Too Much, and 98 was Goodbye.
Huh.
Yeah. I think they're the only other acts other than the Beatles to have three consecutive Christmas number ones.
Wow.
Yeah. They were a very successful band.
Yeah, they were.
I don't even remember what he's talking about. Oh, Dobby.
So Harry wakes with a yell and wakes up Ron, Dean and Neville as well. And he's like, oh, no, don't. It's just fucking Dobby being a creepy weirdo.
Yeah, Seamus is like, is something the matter, Harry? Like, oh, God. Fry, like, does a Seamus voice that he'd never done before, I feel.
He's always done an Irish accent.
Yeah, but it was like a different kind of dialect and a lot deeper.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's bizarre, but okay.
Maybe he's indicating...
I say that a lot in my life, Tom. That's bizarre, but okay.
Dobby basically asks, he's looking all like, he's worried that he's pissed Harry off. But he's like, can Dobby give Harry Potter his present now? It's like, oh.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, yes.
Harry's like, no, Harry feels it's like, shit, he didn't get Dobby anything. Then he's like, yeah, let me give you yours. And he rummages in his casket. That's a weird word, isn't it? He breaks off a finger from the corpse inside. He's like, here, Dobby, take this. It'll bring you good luck. And Dobby's like, oh, thank you, sir. Can I ask whose finger it is? He's like, yes, it's my mother's. I carry her with me. Well, I need to practice kissing. That's so, rank, Tom. I can't believe you made me say that.
Certain Jesus. Things are going to be trickier now she has one less finger. But
it's okay. The rigor mortis gives her a vice-like grip, so it's fine. It's helpful that she looks so much like Ron's sister. It's like two for the price of one, Dobby. Oh, God. And Dobby's just like sucking on the finger like it's a popsicle. He's like, good to know, Harry Potter. He's like, don't do that, Dobby. You make the skin go all wrinkly.
Also, the places that finger has been.
Yes, I'm sure you can taste it. Dobby's like, oh, Dobby's used to eating shit, sir. No, he rummages in his trunk and gives Dobby a pair of his oldest, most foulest pair of socks that are extra knobbly. And they used to be Uncle Vernon's.
Yes, I just realised that my phone has auto-corrected Vernon to Vermin.
Uncle Vermin.
Yeah.
That's
gave him Vermin's old socks.
Oh, a little pair of like mice socks.
Yeah.
That sounds so cute. Oh my God.
And Dobby's like, oh, the shop has made a mistake, sir. They're both the same.
Yeah.
And then
Ron's like,
here you go. Have this pair. You can mix them up.
Yeah.
And also, here's the jumper I said I'd give you.
Yeah, and then Dobby gets quite overwhelmed.
He does.
Starts crying almost.
Falls to his knees.
Yeah.
Opens his mouth.
And he's like, ah! And everyone's like, my favourite sound. No, like Dobby's like, Dobby had heard of your greatness, considering you are Harry Potter's favourite friend. But I did not know that you were equally as kind, equally as generous, equally as erect.
Sexy.
Equally as sexy, equally as rambunctious, equally as hostile, I guess. Yeah, equally as persuasive.
Equally as invasive.
And Ron's like, yeah, all right, calm it, Armit. Like, fucking hell, I just gave you a pair of socks.
Yeah. But then, yeah, Dobby gives Harry his present, which is also socks.
Yeah, ones that he knitted himself.
Yeah, he bought the thread or cotton or yarn or whatever with his wages. And the right sock is red with broomsticks and the left sock is red with broomsticks and the right sock is green with snitches.
Yeah, I thought it sounded pretty nice.
Yeah.
They're all
knobbly and woolly, but still.
Yeah, Harry should have put them on right then and there.
He did.
Good.
But then it says, like, the rest of Harry's presents were far more satisfactory than Dobby's socks. I thought, that's a bit shitty. Dobby's socks seem nice.
Yeah, but once you've got a sock on, what else can you do?
Have warm feet?
I guess so. If that's all you got at Christmas at that age, you'd be like...
Well, yeah,
this blows chunks.
Still.
All I want is a Nerf bow and arrow. Which was my, like, dream Christmas present for fucking years, and I never got it. I don't know why, because it's a fucking, like, boyish present. My dad should have fucking loved buying that for me.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted a Power Rangers costume I never got.
Aww. Yeah. Which one?
Probably the red one.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I'd choose now. I probably would not choose to have a Power Rangers costume.
I'm trying to think what ranger you would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably. I think you probably would be red, to be honest.
Yeah?
Red or, like red or green.
All right, I'll go with that.
And they sort of, like, cycle through the presents that everyone gets. Like, Ron gets a Chudley Cannon hat from Harry.
Yeah.
I did think, when did he buy this? Harry gets a fucking treasure trove of sweets from Hagrid, which is... It's the only good thing Hagrid is for is Christmas presents, because he always gets really good ones.
He does do him good presents, yeah. Hermione gives him a book, Quidditch Teams of Britain and Ireland. Ron gets him a bulging bag of dung bombs.
What are dung bombs? Are they just stink pellets?
I think they must be. I know. I guess that's what maybe 14-year-old boys want, because it's funny. But
when can you fucking use it? I've never seen them using dung bombs ever, so no. Obviously he doesn't.
No.
What fucking useless present? I'd be like, have you got a receipt, Ron, so I can return it? And get something I actually can use, like a defibrillator. Sirius gets him a fucking magic penknife that can open unopenable locks and untie untieable locks.
Well, yeah, gets him a handy penknife with attachments to unlock any lock and untie any knot.
Yeah, basically exactly what I just said.
What's the point in that, though?
Because you can do things.
That you can already do with magic?
No, because some magic things you can't do. Yeah, because... In book 5, they can't Alohomora Dolores' office, but he uses Sirius's penknife to, like, slide the lock and it works.
Does it?
Yeah.
Huh. So, all right. Well, in that case, I take it back.
Yeah, good. Yes, they go outside, they start playing snowball. Is that what you call it?
They start playing snowball. No, they have a snowball fight.
Who's up for a game of snowball? That can mean many things. Is it where we chuck chunks of ice at each other, or where we put our bollocks in the snow?
Bollocks in the snow. Whoever can make the most snow stick to their ballsack,
yes,
wins.
Yes, whoever's the first to become infertile wins.
Hermione just watches. She doesn't join in. And then she leaves to get ready, and Ron's like, you need 3 hours to get ready. And she's like, yes.
Yeah, that's a reasonable amount of time, I feel. I knew you were going to make that face. I was like, if I say that that's an appropriate amount of time...
What are you spending 3 hours doing getting ready?
So, one, if I haven't created already, creating the playlist. Two, getting showered and stuff. Three, doing like hair and makeup. Four, putting on the clothes. Five, having a cheeky pre-drink.
But yeah, for me now, I'm just typical.
If ever you want to get ready together then for an event, we'll do it.
Okay.
And it might be fun.
Well, I'm sure it would be, but from the sounds of it, I'm going to already be dressed by the time we get together, because like...
What we'll do that thing with Gemma ages ago. I said that I'll take you out and we'll buy some clothes for you for a thing.
Yeah, and we never did it.
Yeah, when a thing comes up, we'll do that. So then it's like, then when
and
we
then
come
we'll
back,
go back and have a montage.
Yeah! Yeah! Like, he's a maniac, maniac on the floor.
And then we'll film it and make it a Patreon exclusive.
That'd be so fucking sick. Okay. So the boys do eventually go inside once the sun starts to set, I think.
Yep.
And they start getting ready to...
Yeah, there was no dinner to go to because the ball is going to include a feast.
Yeah.
And they get up to the fat lady and she's pissed.
Yeah. They're like, fairy lights. And she's like, yes, Larry fights. Well done. Yeah. Which is so funny if you're from England.
Larry fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you describe what Larry means?
Aggro.
How would you describe what aggro means? Is aggro an American term as well?
Well, short for aggravated, is
it? I guess so.
Aggressive?
Yeah, but Larry's a bit more... Yeah, Larry's sort of, yeah, very sort of like...
Larry's
sort of like faux aggression, I would say.
Tanked up lager lads. I'm literally just using British expressions.
I know. I've been called Larry a lot in my life. So I don't think it's like that specific.
I don't know if I'd describe you as Larry. Well, maybe not. My version of Larry is very much... bloke in the pub who's had too much and is going off on one and yeah. is being all like getting all fighty.
I was thinking Spice World the movie, Mel B goes, maybe I should just stop being loud and leery, and they all go, yeah, right. So I sort of think of it like that.
No.
I think I'm leery in a scary Spice way, maybe.
Yeah, not in a tanked up lager lad kind of way.
lager. So yeah, like Harry's rose look pretty swish. So do the other boys. Ron's look fucking shite. And he tries to use a severing charm on the lace around it to make it not look shite, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah. They come down to the common room. Parvati's wearing pink. And she says that Padma will meet Ron in the entrance hall.
So they get into the hall and stuff, and people sort of like make their way inside, and then like
yeah, the champions like stand to the side of the entrance hall while everyone sort of shimmies
past.
Don't know why I settled on shimmies there.
Yeah, Malfoy's wearing robes that make him look like a vicar.
Yeah, apparently. Black velvet robes with a high collar.
Yeah,
Durmstrang enters the great hall led by Crum, who's with a pretty girl in blue robes that Harry didn't know.
Yeah. McG has tartan robes, of course.
Does she?
Yeah. She has tartan robes, and she has something about her head that looks kind of stupid, but I can't remember what it was. She was wearing like a wreath in her hair or something like that, but it looked dumb, Harry said.
Oh.
He obviously didn't tell her that. Flo is with Roger Davies from Ravenclaw. Have we met him before?
I don't think so. I don't think we've heard that name before.
Okay, so she's with
him.
Oh,
unless... Well, because they played Ravenclaw at Quidditch, so there was probably a moment
where...
He
must be on the team.
Yeah. Well, he says he's the Quidditch captain.
Oh, okay.
So there's probably a moment where he shook hands with Wood at the beginning and we got a brief mention of his name, but he hasn't been an actual character, really.
Right, okay. So he's with her and he looks like thunderstruck that he's with someone so beautiful.
Yeah. Although she sounds like kind of a bitch
massively.
Up to this point. She's just done nothing but complain.
Yeah.
Crabbe and Goyle are both wearing green, making them look like mouldy boulders, and neither of them have been able to find partners.
They should just admit their love for each other.
Yeah.
They have definitely been having a little pork around, you know what I mean?
A little pork around.
Yeah. And then I don't know what happens. Does she speak to them or not? But then Harry realizes that Hermione is Hermione.
Yeah, yeah. They're waiting in the entrance as everyone's about to file past. Harry's like, the pretty girl with Victor Crumb was Hermione.
Yeah, and she's sleeked her hair back into like a top knot and stuff, and she's wearing periwinkle blue dress robes.
Yep.
She looks very pretty indeed. Mm-hmm. Always annoyed me in the film that her dress was pink, because she looked exactly how I imagined her, apart from the dress colour being different, which annoyed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a weird choice to make. I also think blue would have looked nicer on her.
Yeah.
Blue, like a blue like eyeliner, I think, would have looked really swish. Yeah.
Maybe anyway. One of those dresses that changes from pink to blue, like the end of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, do you know that in the Disney parks, they have like LED lights in her dress during like the parades? So when she spins, the whole dress like changes colour and it looks like actual magic. It's fucking insane.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I obviously like, you know, LEDs. I just said, but yeah, but I don't know how it looks so like seamless. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, anyway.
So once everyone enters in, the champions sort of process through the hall up to the top table.
Hold on, doesn't Hermione say hello to him?
She does, yeah.
And then Ron just like barges past her or something.
Yeah, well, Ron's part of the crowd that is moving into the Great Hall. So he just passes past her without a word.
Okay.
And then once everyone's in, they all just sort of step up to the Great Hall. And Harry says he feels like Parvati's just sort of leading him along and he's just trying not to trip over his feet. And they get up to the top table and he sees that Percy Weasley is there in place of Barty Crouch. And he pulls out a chair for Harry and is like, over here. And Harry's like, as you would be.
Yeah, I would have just pretended like someone had called me from the other direction. Be like, oh, sorry. And like pointed over in that direction and then disappeared into the throng.
But well, I mean, the eyes at the hall, at this moment, everyone is watching them walk through and they go and take their seats at the top table.
Oh, that's not good.
No, so he's kind of trapped.
Yeah, he should have just sat down.
Immediately started talking to whoever else was sat next to him on the other side.
Or like in those situations, I feel like sometimes it's better to go on the like offensive with the questioning. So ask them a question about themselves so they can talk really intensely about it and then have to move on.
Yeah.
Because then you can sort of be like, okay, oh, okay, I need to blah, blah, blah. And then you can really politely excuse yourself whilst also having engaged them. If you let them lead it too much, then it's like, argh.
Yeah.
I think Harry's not aware enough yet.
No, he's not. Yeah. So Percy's like, oh, I've been promoted. I'm here in Mr. Crouch's place. He hasn't been at all well since the World Cup. And Harry just wants to ask him if he stopped calling him Weatherby yet.
Yeah. And he overhears Fleur and Roger Davies talking. And Fleur's like, oh, it's my palace or wherever we come from. They have icicles that glisten and never melt. We have fairies. We have...
Yeah, this is nothing.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
C'est bullshit. He can hit, and Harry realizes he's never heard Victor Crumb talk before, yeah. But he's talking animatedly to Hermione about their castle.
Yeah, Crumb sounds really sweet, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, and then in the winter we have this, but we never have the fires lit, only for magical purposes. And then, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, he sounds just like... so. Sounds like an excited kid, and I really liked that.
Yeah, for sure. And Karkaroff hears him, and he's like, now, Victor, don't go giving away all our secrets. Your friend will be able to.
Accents.
He will be able to find us.
And Dumbledore's like, oh, why so precious about your location? Yes.
Are we not all guarding of our school's secrets, Dumbledore? He's like, well, I would never presume to know all of Hogwarts' secrets. Just last night, I was in desperate need of a bathroom and came across a chamber I'd never seen before in my life.
Yes, it was called the girls' dormitory. And I went inside and I found a young lady who slept with her mouth open. I was like, here we go, tinkle, tinkle. No.
We get our first... is this a first hint at the Room of Requirement?
Yeah, we first hear of the Room of Requirement.
Yeah.
Then he's like, and then when I tried to find it again, it wasn't there. So maybe you can only find it when...
You can only find it at 5 o'clock in the morning, or maybe it's something else.
Or when
else.
You're in desperate need of aquatic relief.
Does the Room of Requirement come up again in this book?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, because when Harry first encounters it in book 5, he's like, he remembers Dumbledore talking about a room that was full of chamber pots.
Yeah, yeah. The first is, yeah, when they use it for Dumbledore's army is the first time we know it as the Room of Requirement, isn't it?
Yeah, that I can think of.
Me too. Yeah, so the Hagrid's there in his horrible brown suit. Crumb can't say Hermione's name.
Yeah, he goes, Hermione, and then she's like...
Hermione, which I think is actually how I said
same.
As a kid, because I had never seen the name Hermione before.
When I'd first seen the names written down, it was before the films had come out, and so I was like, that's a weird name. And then when I saw the film first, obviously, I was like, oh, Hermione. And I thought, that's such a bizarre name, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like... Gaelic or something like that. It has that sort of like ring to it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I have heard it a couple of times since. I can't think where now, but there are some other Hermione's knocking about.
I maybe have.
But I had literally never encountered it as a name before, so I read it as, Hermione. Mm. I was like, what? That's not a name, but I was like, whatever. It's a fantasy novel.
Yeah, and then she's like, go on, you do Hermione.
Oh, I do Hermione.
He was like, Hermione, no, like, Hermione.
He's like, fucking, no, Victor, listen. It's fucking Hermione.
Hermione.
That's fucking close enough.
Now put your fucking hand down my dress.
Look at your fucking fingers in there.
Then the weird sisters arrived.
The weird sisters arrived.
And I bet their shit. Yeah. The fucking instruments they brought, I was like, there's no way this band are cool.
What was it? Guitars?
It's like a bagpipe, guitars, a fucking harp, just a like motley crew of instruments. And I thought, this is going to sound like proper wank.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like an interesting combo to me. But then no. I'm a music wanker, so.
A manker.
If you will.
No, just I bet it's just, I don't know. I can't even imagine how the music sounds. I just know I wouldn't like it. Yeah.
Well, all right. I can't remember what it sounds like in the film, but...
No, in the film, it's just Jarvis Cocker and someone from Radiohead and...
Is it Jarvis Cocker?
Yeah, we had this discussion when we recorded the film 3 episode. Yeah.
I remember Dan mentioning that it's Johnny Greenwood, but I...
Yeah, so, it's just Jarvis Cocker, and then Dan said, and the bassist or something from Radiohead. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like rock music. It's like fine in the film. But you get like a single frame of them before it cuts back to the crowd and then it's something else. And I thought, well, what a waste of having them there.
Yeah.
Like, you should have had at least like a little like minute or... Not a minute or two, but like a couple of seconds more on them to show it anyway.
I guess. I wonder if there is like a music video that exists somewhere.
Oh, maybe like a deleted scene kind of thing.
Yeah.
I bet there is. That'd be, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to look at it.
So yeah, the dance begins. And so yeah, they get up in his house. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, rotating slowly on the spot. Parvati was steering.
Why is Harry finding this so hard? The kind of dance they're doing is the most basic form of fucking, like, ballroom dance you can do.
Yeah, but I would find it unpleasant.
Yeah, but it's just a two-step.
Yeah.
It's so not... You don't have to have any skills in anything to do that kind of dance that they're doing.
No, exactly. And so it's not... You don't have to be any kind of skilled to do that kind of dance. It's just doing it with everyone watching.
I guess. Like, yeah, maybe.
I would not be thrilled about the prospect of doing it either.
To be fair, they are like 14 as well. Yeah. I remember going to my high school disco, did not fucking dance once.
No.
Made everyone do the conga at one point, though. And everyone did. Yeah. Because everyone was just standing around. At school discos, the girls dance and the boys just stand around.
And the boys stand at the side, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So is tradition.
Yeah, alas. Earwax. So...
And then other people start joining them on the dance floor. Moody is doing a weird dance. Dumbledore's dancing with Madame Maxime, dwarfed by her. Moody is doing a weird little...
He's like, whoop, I slipped inside. Okay.
Looks like I live here now.
Look, there's a bunk bed.
Yeah. Frothing cauldron.
But no toilet. Okay. I guess you won't know the difference, really. Jesus Christ.
Moody's doing a weird little jiggy dance with Professor Sinistra, and he comes up to Harry, and looking through his robes, says, "Nice socks, Potter." That's super weird.
Right.
And then Parvati says, "He's so creepy." Agreed.
Yeah.
That's not okay. You can't look through students' robes.
Oh, that's so upsetting. That never occurred to me until right now. That oh my God.
I mean, he's commenting on Dobby's odd socks that he's wearing.
I mean, I'm hoping he wouldn't want to look through the rest of their robes.
Yeah, and that's got to just be the Alistair Moody honour system there, though, hasn't it? Because he's got to be able to.
Yeah, he can see through everyone's clothes. So anytime, like, Molly's going off on one, he's just like, oh, I can see your bra. Wait, that's not a bra?
Oh, you just don't have any nipples.
Oh, your boobs are just held up by your own aggravation. Okay. Oh, God. So then kind of Harry sort of takes his first opportunity to like be like, oh, can we go and sit down? And then Parvati's like, no, I really like this song. And then he's like, well, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, literally the song ends and he just lets go of her and goes like, to sit down. Like, nope, don't like this one. Sitting down. Yeah.
So they go and sit down and Ron sitting down with them as well?
Yeah, Harry goes and sits with Ron and Padma's sat by him all pissed off because Ron's just spent the whole time scowling at Hermione.
Yeah.
And pretty soon after, Parvati gets asked to dance by some Ravenclaw kid and Harry does not give a shit.
Yeah, she's like, oh, do you mind if I go dance? He's like, no, go ahead.
He's like, what? Oh, yeah. And she doesn't come back.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I hope she has a great night with that boy.
Yeah.
Hermione comes over all like happy and stuff and Ron just starts being an arse straight away.
Yeah, he does. Tells her she's fraternizing with the enemy and Crumb's clearly just with you to get to Harry, to get a good opportunity because he knows you're close to Harry, to get an opportunity to curse him or something. And she's rightly affronted by this.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, he's only like, you know, hanging around you because of that. Then Hermione's like, for your information...
He's a white supremacist as well.
Yeah, for your information, we fucking bonded over our love of our once and future king. Hermione, like, subconsciously, like, raises her finger to, like, under her nose to create the moustache. And Harry just, like, reaches out and pulls it down.
It's like Hermione. God damn. Yeah. Yes, where's Professor von Weberhusen?
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, he's never asked me once about Harry.
Yeah, he'd been coming to the library a lot, waiting to because he wanted to ask me but was too shy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and Ron's just keeps on being a twat and then she storms off.
Yeah, because he changes tactics after that. He says something else like, oh, well, then he's clearly hoping that you'll help him with...
with the egg.
Yeah, with the egg. And then she's like, how dare you? I would never do that. I want Harry to win. You know that, don't you, Harry? And Harry's like, yeah, of course, love. Yeah. Yeah, of course, babe.
Calm down, darling. Don't you tell me to fucking calm down.
Yeah, and then so Hermione storms off and Crumb comes along. He's like, ah, have you seen Hermione, Ninny? I got her a drink. And like, nah, she's not here, bruv. And he's like, ah.
Very well.
Yeah, very well. Goodbye.
I take my leave.
And he disappears in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, meanwhile, Padma has asked Ron, are you going to ask me to dance at all? He's like, no. So she goes to join her sister and the Ravenclaw boy summons up another boy faster than a summoning charm.
Yeah. Harry spies the Weasley twins trying to speak to Bagman, but he keeps like shaking them off. And then he comes over and does Harry ask Bagman what that was about? And Bagman says, makes up something.
He says, oh, they were just wanting, asking me about their, telling me more about their fake wands, looking for marketing advice.
That's it. Yeah. And then Harry's like, that seems odd that they would like hound him for such a thing.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. He says something about Bagman.
Yeah. Percy sits down and takes Parvati's empty seat. And they're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
As you would be.
Yeah.
And then he starts asking Bagman about work. And he's like, oh, yes, yes, it's all fine. Blah, blah, blah. And then Ron and Harry basically say, should we go for a walk to get away from Percy? Which, yeah, fair enough.
So they fuck off outside into this lovely like garden that's been created outside the hall with like fairy lights and Larry fights and benches and fountains and shit like that.
Yeah, stone paths cutting their way through the rose bushes.
They hear over here, I did write khaki pants this time. They hear khaki pants talking to Snape about the dark mark.
The fucking dark mark.
He's like, it has been getting stronger and stronger. Don't tell me you haven't been feeling too, Severus. And then Severus is like, no.
No, mine's fine, actually.
I had mine removed by a laser. And then they sort of emerge from the shadows and Snape sees them. And then he's like, what are you two doing here? No.
What are you two doing here?
Walking. Is that illegal?
Snape's like, well, in North Korea, yes.
So they continue down the path and they see these giant silhouettes sat on a stone bench by a fountain. And Harry's like, oh, he doesn't want to intrude on this moment. So he's like, oh, let's go back. He sees Fleur and Roger is his name.
Yeah, getting cozy in like a little...
getting all cozy in a bush.
Yeah.
And
he's getting well cozy in a bush. Harry saw a weird light emanating from the corner.
And he's like, look, to Ron, like, let's go. And Ron's like, doesn't want to go anywhere near Fleur because he's still all embarrassed and butthurt.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, okay. So he hides behind like a reindeer statue or something where they can hear what Hagrid's saying.
Something like that. And then Hagrid's like, I knew the first time we saw you. Blah, blah, blah. And then Max seems like, oh, what did you know, Hagrid? He's like, that you were like me. When did you find out? I knew since I was about 3 years old. My mom was one. She left. They're not their maternal type. My dad raised me the best he could. He died when I first started school. I remember I used to be able to pick him up and put him on top of the shelf. I did. And then Harry and Ron are like, huh. And then Harry got the distinct impression this was a conversation he didn't want to overhear.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me weird?
I'm not, am I?
Oh, yeah. I thought you looked... that's usually the look that you give me when I've like skipped a massively important thing.
No. And then he's like, oh, sorry, I never met another one before. And she's like, another what? Another half giant.
Yeah, and then no, because doesn't Harry say he would have known that Hagrid shouldn't have said what he said next or something?
Oh yeah, another what? And then Harry was like, even Harry knew that
Or when they've noticed a little beetle is crawling on the statue near to them as well, and it's like distracting Harry's eye while he's trying to listen.
Oh yeah, I remember the significance of that now. That completely went over my head. And she's like, "Qua? I've never been so insulted."
Yeah, I have big bones.
Yeah, so she storms off.
And Agra's like, so do I, see? And she's like, Zutalo, if only I'd seen that before.
More than half giant, if you ask me.
You look like a full-blooded. And Agra's like, oh, it certainly is full-blooded, I'll tell you that. And she's like, oh, gosh. Ron and Harry like head back inside after that, talking about, and they sit at a table inside, kind of off away from the fray. And then I think Ron's like, Harry, did you know? Then Harry's like, what, the Hagrid is half giant? No, I didn't really think about it. Or something like that, right?
Yeah, and Ron's all frowny and serious, like it's a big deal. And Harry's like, well, yeah, I mean, seems obvious. I mean, now I think about it. And Ron's like, giants struggles for a bit. And he's like, aren't very nice.
Yeah, I just always thought he got in the way of a bad engorgement charm.
Yeah, like, yeah, no wonder he keeps it quiet. Nobody who knows him will care, but it's not good. Giants are just aggressive. They just want to kill everything. Mm. They're dangerous. Hagrid's dad must have been super weird.
I mean, he fucking obviously was, seeing as he was like 3 foot tall and fucking had sex with a giant.
Yeah, tiny little bloke.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed how he did it before.
But, we did.
Yeah.
But... my god, yeah, maybe, I just can't, you
know, it might have been purely accidental. Maybe he was a hiker.
Maybe they were in a hot tub together.
She just like farted, the like vacuum that got caused afterwards just sucked him inside.
And he made a little cabin.
Yeah. Maybe she was just like asleep on a mountain pass. It was nighttime. He was walking through, suddenly he was like, these rocks feel all squishy. Why does it smell awfully damp? And he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just sleep here for the night. Fell asleep, had a wet dream, woke up, or was expelled via normal body contractions. He's like, fuck me.
Again, please.
Yeah. And the giant was just like, oh, oh, oh.
And then
like,
his dad.
Me too.
And then his dad returned 9 months or whatever the giant gestation period
it's
is later.
Like elephant gestation, like 2 years.
Yeah, and then so his dad returned then.
He liked that mountain pass.
Collected the baby and then took it back to raise it.
Yeah, well, the mum was there as well. Maybe he lived there with the mum until the mum fucked off at age 3, and then he took Hagrid down back to whatever dwelling he was from.
Yeah. But it says here, giants are just aggressive in nature. They just want to kill stuff.
Yeah, but Hagrid says that she left when he was 3.
Yeah, but how did his dad survive?
Oh, maybe he just visited when she was sleeping. Why break an old habit that doesn't want to die hard?
So yeah, that's all super weird. The evening sort of draws to a close. They see Hermione saying...
Sorry, just quickly, Harry says, and who is Madame Maxime kidding? Big bones. The only thing that has bigger bones than her is a dinosaur. Yeah. And I found that really funny. Tyrannosaurus.
Because dinosaurs are massive.
Yeah.
Well, some of them are.
Yeah. Not those little green ones that killed the little girl at the start of Jurassic Park 2.
No, exactly. I've probably got bigger bones than that one.
Anyway, they all start to head like back upstairs now because the party's drawing to an end. And Cedric stops Harry and says, Harry, have you had any luck with the egg yet? And Harry's like, no. Or he says, yeah, kind of, or something like that. And then Cedric's like, I tell you what, mate, go to the prefect's bathroom and take your egg with you. Just mull things over in the tub. The password is peppermint or something like that.
Pine fresh.
Oh, well, close. They're both fucking like woodland scents.
Peppermint.
Yeah, it's a herb, right?
I mean, the mint plant, yeah. Is that peppermint, though? Isn't that basically mint with added sugar?
No, I drink peppermint tea.
Oh, yeah. Where's the pepper part come from, then?
So Harry's like, oh, thanks, I guess. And Harry knew Cedric did that because he helped him with the dragon. So
yeah.
Harry then continues upstairs.
But then he has a moment of like, why is Cedric just trying to make him look a fool?
Yeah,
like,
is he trying to fuck with me? Is he trying to fuck with me?
Is he trying to fuck me?
And so he's like, I'm not trying to fuck you, all right?
Is he going
to
be waiting for me in that bath?
Yeah, Cedric's like, oh, well, I was planning to, but now he's spoiled with surprise. This is what at Hogwarts we call a kinder surprise. See how the egg ties in? Hey, hey. Yes, he gets back upstairs, didn't he?
Yeah, he bloody does. He has to wake up the fat lady, who looks distinctly annoyed, and he finds Ron and Hermione having a massive fucking row.
Yeah. Ron's like, oh, you're a fucking bitch. Like, why'd you have to go with Crumb? You don't even like foreigners. He likes all the same books as me, Ron. Well, book.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, again, which book? Oh, my God. Yeah, and then what does Hermione say to him?
Well, you know what the solution is, don't you?
Accent, please.
Well, you know what the fucking solution is? No, that's shit. I can't say the word solution.
Solution?
Fucking Scouser. Fucking solution?
Solution? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Fucking, you know what the fucking answer is, don't you? Next time there's a fucking ball, ask me before someone else gets this chance to, you cunt.
And everyone's like, oh, well, that just goes to show she's completely missed the point.
Yeah.
Harry's like, Harry had an idea that Hermione had got the point a lot better than Ron had.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that brings us to the end of the chapter, the end of the Yule Ball, and the end of probably a lot of people's virginity that night, I imagine.
And you know, boys can't go up to the girls' dormitories, so it'd all have to be in the boys' dormitories, which feels wrong for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like girls would politely ignore it. Boys would be creepy.
Mean, maybe they just pull the hangings across and then cast the muffliato charm.
Muffliato.
Yeah. Maybe Fleur was like less uptight the morning after. She's like, you know, this Hogwarts food, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Bouillabaisse for all. And some yogurt, please. I seem to have got a yeast infection. Fuck me.
No.
Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We hope you've enjoyed our Christmas episode. I hope that your Nana survived it. But yeah, please continue reaching out to us via Instagram at PaulieRedPod and on Twitter at PaulieRedPod. Send us more of your emails. We've loved everything we've received so far. We do hope to get back to everyone. It might just take us a little while. But yeah, have I said the email address? At PaulieRed@gmail.com, just in case I haven't. So yeah, I hope everyone's had a fantastic Christmas day. If you listen to this after Christmas, then go fuck yourself.
How dare you not cut out time on your Christmas day?
Yes, we are your Christmas present. We are your Christmas future. I've been gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And Madam Maxine has been a dinosaur, apparently. Merry Christmas to one and all.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Merry Christmas, yeah. One and all.
So this is Christmas. Ha 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 ha!